This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and Talkspace, the leading virtual therapy provider, is encouraging people to talk it out in therapy. By talking or texting with a supportive, licensed therapist at Talkspace, you'll gain insights, discover truths, and experience breakthroughs that will improve how you live and how you feel. With Talkspace, just answer a few questions online, and you'll be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, whenever you feel most at ease. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members only pay a $25 copay or less. No insurance? No problem. If you want to make progress toward a mentally healthier place, Talkspace is here for you. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Have you tried changing your health year on year, resolving that this year things are going to be different, but nothing seems to change? Oftentimes, when things are not changing, we're following many wellness myths and not looking at the full picture, including our nutrition, recovery, stress management, leaving out mind-body connection. I want to introduce you to Wellness Redefined, a new podcast from Rufilion Media that's here to dispel all your myths about wellness and fitness while sharing stories of how we redefine what it means to be healthy. On each episode, we'll be talking to experts from all walks of life who will share their own unique wellness journey and offer their perspective. I am your host, Tamika Rochester, founder and CEO of Harlem Cycle, a premier wellness space in New York City with a focus on indoor cycling. I've been an advocate for wellness since as early as I can remember. So if this sounds like something that could help change your life, go ahead and pause the show you're listening to and subscribe to Wellness Redefined on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, and welcome back to American Muslim Project. I'm Asad Butt. American Muslim Project is a podcast where we chat with Muslims in America that are doing cool things. Today's guest is Saad Munir. Saad is the host of Storytime, a podcast about all things real estate. We produce it here at Rufilion. He was born in Karachi, Pakistan, but then moved to the States before he was 1 year old. He's been living in Greater Boston ever since. Saad is a real estate agent and investor. He works for a company called Tori, hence the name Storytime, and is trying to help revolutionize the home buying experience. Saad is obsessed with all things real estate, as you'll be able to tell from our conversation and from all the fun videos he posts on his social media accounts. You definitely have to check them out. There are really some very funny videos in there. We'll talk about all that and so much more up after the break. This is American Muslim Project. Saad, welcome to American Muslim Project. So excited to have you on and for us to do this conversation this way. Okay, first question for you. My wife and I are in the market for a new house out here in Portland, Oregon. What advice would you give us? You know, we're looking to upgrade essentially to a new house. You know, if I was coming to you for the first time, what would you say to me?
I would say the people that have success in this market, number one, they stay active. Because, you know, like there's not a lot of inventory up there. So you need to be on it.
Well, I should be on the apps like every day, you're saying.
You should be pretty regular on it. Yeah. And then, but not just you, you should have your agent being on it. Right. So like, and their teams, part of their job is to look at the market, scour it, look at off market options. I mean, they're few and far between right now in this environment, but you should have help to look at what's out there. And I mean, with supply being so low, like something can be on one day and gone in less than a day.
I feel like that's what was supposed to, that's what we were told at the height of the market when it was super hot. But you're saying even now, like we need to
even with interest rates high, it still happens. I mean, because at the end of the day, what drives everything is supply and demand. And there's just not enough supply.
Wow, that's so fascinating.
So I would say, yeah, that's number one. And number two, because interest rates are so high, keep a long-term perspective on this. Yeah. You can imagine, like, you know, when interest rates go down, sure, like, it's more attractive, but it's attractive for everybody, more attractive for everybody. So you're going to end up paying more yes, with a lower interest rate, but essentially your payment could end up being the same as if you bought today.
Oh my goodness.
So buying now and refinancing later, if you can afford to do so, is definitely the right way to do it. Again, that's not going to work for everybody.
Yeah.
But if you can't afford to do that, it's the right play.
Yeah, no, that's really interesting. And, you know, so I have now, so I'm, whatever, 44, about to turn 45. And I have...
You don't look it.
I appreciate that. I have now purchased in two properties. So I had one in Boston that I sold, and then now in Portland, we own a house out here. And I just read that the average, you know, person buys three houses in their lifetime. And I felt like I didn't learn any lessons from the first time I did it to the second time I did it. And so I guess how much of your job is just like really being that guide in educating the buyer on the process again and again and again?
I would say that is 90% of like the benefit of an agent, a good agent, right? Is to educate people, be their guide, challenge them.
Challenge
them. You know, that's like a really important part of my job.
What do you, so explain that.
So sometimes my clients, like, they'll be like, no, this is the way that we're going to do it. You know, like hard sell, like, you know,
I want that pool or I want that whatever.
Yeah. You know, like sometimes they have unrealistic expectations. So I have to coach them on that. Sometimes they feel like, you know, really playing hardball in a situation, not understanding that if they lose out, what that means for them later on.
Yeah,
so again, long-term perspective. So challenging them is actually a really important part of my job. And I tell my clients when I first meet with them, like, you know, my job is not to be a yes man.
That's great.
Right? It's not to be your friend. It's to be your agent. It's to be your realtor. And part of that is really educating you, not agreeing with everything that you say, all that kind of stuff. So to your question, yeah, 90% of it is that guidance piece, that education piece.
Yeah, yeah. So how did you get involved with this? This is like a career change for you, right? Like you started off in sales, I think, right? Sales and in tech companies, and then you went into real estate. Tell me that story.
So out of school, I was a financial advisor for several years. And that's when, one, I learned a lot about personal finance, but looking at people's situations and seeing where majority of their net worth was sitting and kind of the decisions they made, I mean, it was really interesting to see how much of a role real estate had played in their financial situation, their financial well-being, et cetera. So that's where I first got interested in real estate. But I bought my first property in 2013. And that's when I got hooked on just, you know, like the importance of owning property.
Yeah. And that property, so, you and your wife had expectations about what you wanted from that property, right?
Yeah. Like, I mean, we knew we wanted to be close to the city, and our expectation was, yeah, it's going to grow in value, but we have no idea. We didn't know how to forecast or anything like that. Zero clue. But it was more of a lifestyle decision for us. And really that was, you know, 75% of it. But I also knew it was going to grow in value and that was going to benefit us later.
For sure.
So,
yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah. And so you became a realtor at what point? A couple of years ago, I think, right?
Yeah. So 7 years after I bought my first property, I got my license. And I got my license mainly to benefit like my own portfolio.
Oh, right? Interesting. So for your portfolio. Own investment purposes, yeah, and you didn't think that you would be servicing other clients. You just wanted to build your own.
Initially, no. My thought was, you know, hey, I'm going to get access to MLS. I'll develop connections that will be super helpful. Maybe I can meet other investors that are like-minded, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. But it just so happened, like you said, you know, my background is in tech sales. After I was financial advisor, I was in tech sales for 10 years. One of the engineers at one of the previous startups I worked at, he started Tori.
So
he and I had stayed in touch, we had a mutual interest in real estate. And he was the one, he's like, hey, you're getting your license, join us, help us out. And one thing led to another. And now I'm doing this.
Amazing. Thing. Amazing. And so what is your day-to-day like? What is the day-to-day like for a realtor? My impression is that, you know, every day on the weekends, you name it, you are touring people around different houses. Is that real?
Weekends? Yes. Weekends, yeah, definitely. I mean, that's where, you know, there's a lot of open houses and what have you. Obviously, during the week, there are private showings as well. But no 2 days are the same. no 2 weeks are the same. There's some weeks I won't do a single showing, maybe not submit a single offer. Wow. There are other weeks where I'll be doing showings 5 out of 7 days and submitting 10 offers. Like it's
and you
it's
like
always
that.
Changing. Yeah, yeah, I like it. You know, sometimes you need those lulls to reset because like, for example, the past couple of weeks have been insane and I'm excited for the next few days to be a little bit more calm because I did 4 inspections in 2 days, which was like, man, my mind is like,
yeah.
But, you know, like, obviously, I mean, in this business, you need to stay busy. And if you're not thinking about feeding the top of the funnel and like keeping deals moving and making sure clients are being taken care of, et cetera, you know, you don't want too long of a loan.
Yeah. So. You know, I guess my impression would have been that with the rising interest rates, that it would have slowed down a little bit or a lot. I guess I would have expected that. And that hasn't been the case for you?
Thankfully, no. You know, people need to buy and sell all the time. You know, real estate never sleeps.
Yeah, especially always, probably in Boston where a lot of people come for a couple of years or whatever.
Yeah. And really, I mean, like, honestly, everywhere there's business happening. There are deals happening. It's just a matter of kind of, you know, being top of mind and being like knowing that you're a helpful resource. So that's how I've benefited and that, like, you know, word of mouth, referrals, like that kind of thing. So yeah, so thankfully business has been okay, even though interest rates have gone up. So.
Yeah. We're going to take a quick break and when we come back, we'll do a little bit more with Saad Munir. Welcome back to American Muslim Project. My guest today is Saad Munir, real estate guru, expert, you name it. I guess you call yourself a real estate nerd.
Yeah, I do.
And this is a passion later on in life, as we kind of discussed. I was reading some of your reviews, and by the way, your reviews are just glowing, and you have multiple of them across the internet. One of them said that you once said that making an offer is like cooking a dish. Can you describe what you mean by that?
A lot of people think that an offer is just the price, right?
Yeah.
There are a ton of ingredients that go into it. Like there's the six main ones.
So there's six that made, like, what are those?
Yeah. So the price, of course, that's the first thing that any seller or their agent will see. There's the three contingencies, so there's the inspection contingency, which obviously everybody and their mom knows about.
Yeah.
There's the mortgage contingency and people that's kind of black and white, but that's an important one. And there's the appraisal contingency, which is probably the least top, but also a really important one. There's the offer deposit. So like the earnest money, that probably most people know that phrase. And then the close date. So timing. Oh, so all of those make up an offer, make up the actual package or the dish.
Yeah. Sure.
So yeah, that's where that came from. And most people, I've had people who worked with agents before and they didn't even know that that all those things go into an offer. And literally every offer I put in, we talk about all six.
Oh, that's great. That's fantastic. Do you have any like crazy stories that have happened in terms of either offers or like deals that you've been able to do, you know, for your clients? I would love to hear one or two.
I mean, there's a lot of stories, but I guess important situations is like, I had clients who submitted offers on properties. They didn't win, right?
Sure.
And I always tell clients, like, look, if you're interested in a property, regardless of the price, regardless of what your offer is going to be, put an offer in. If it's like at least an 8 out of 10, that's the scale I use.
Okay, yeah, right? Okay. Right.
If you tell me a place is 8 out of 10, I'm going to tell you should put an offer.
How often is it 10 out of 10 for people?
Never, because a perfect house doesn't exist, right?
Yeah. So I mean, that's why I asked. Okay.
And I've had clients who are like, oh, it's so close. So that's great. Sure. So then like, let's, you know, put a real effort towards it. But a couple of these situations, I had clients submit offers that did not win, right? What happened was the winning offer fell through because of mortgage or because of something happened with the job, whatever, right? Then my clients, you know, I get a call saying, hey, from the listing agent being like, hey, the offer fell through. Are your clients still interested, right? If my clients had not put that initial offer in, we would have never even had that chance.
Oh, very interesting.
To swoop in and win a property that was actually a really good fit for those clients. So I guess moral from that story is that, like, if you're interested, like, don't worry about the end result. Like, just do it. Worst case scenario, you will learn about the market,
learn
about what the dynamics are, and it's just going to make you that much better later on. Best case scenario, so something like that happens where, you know, you have an opportunity to get a property you are really excited.
Yeah, no, that's really great. I wonder, you know, the thought that just kind of crossed my mind is how much of your role is kind of couples counseling, where one person in the group, well, you know, one person wants this and the other wants this, and then, like, you know, you end up seeing 50 properties and they can never agree. Like, how much of your job is, like, trying to bring them together? Does that happen?
I
feel like that might, that probably happens a lot.
It does. And that's why that, you know, that scale of 1 out of 10, I tell them, I'm like, look, you both are going to have your own numbers. Just give me the average. Just give me the average. I don't want to do that game. And it really is, like, it's their decision, right? My job is not to tell them which house is a good fit for them. That's not my job at all. My job is, you tell me something's an 8 out of 10 or more, my job is to help you get it. Right. So that's when my job gets really interesting. And, you know, like, sometimes are there situations where we're seeing, you know, 20, 25 homes? Yes, that's part of the game. There's others, I see one and we put an offer in and it gets accepted. So that happens sometimes. Everyone's situations are different. And I think as an agent, like, you have to be prepared for that.
Yeah, for sure. I wonder, you know, what advice do you give people who are maybe, you know, Gen Zers, millennials who are going for their first time buying a home? You know, what is it, you know, especially, I guess the conventional wisdom out there right now is that it's hard for a lot of millennials and Gen Zs to get into the real estate game. Well, what advice would you give them, you know, for someone who's kind of thinking maybe they want to buy a home in the next 5 years? You know, what advice would you give them?
A couple of things. I would say, like, start building your team now. Like, by team, I mean, like, you know, a good agent, a lender, right? Start having conversations with, like, you know, if you're going to have a partner, like, that you're buying with, whether it's, like, your spouse or somebody else, right? Start figuring that stuff out sooner rather than later. It's never too early, honestly. But there is time value of money here.
Yeah.
So, like, the sooner you can do it, the better it's going to be for you, because I think in the last 80 years or 90 years or whatever, there's been 3 years where real estate prices have not gone up.
Oh, wow.
So like, you're going to be paying more later on.
Sure.
But having that team, you can start to kind of, like, develop a plan that makes sense for you.
Sure.
No two plans are the same. So you can talk to friends, you can talk to family, but your plan is going to be different than theirs. So having professionals that understand that is really, really important.
Yeah, totally. No, that is great advice. And I wish that I had that, you know, 15, 20 years ago when I bought my first property, for sure. You have a new podcast on our Refellio Network. You want to share a little bit about it?
Yeah. So the podcast, so thanks to Asad, Ari, and the Refellio team, is called Storytime. It's just about, you know, real estate tips, tricks, and advice from, you know, like, I mean, yes, I guess I'm a real estate expert, but other folks as well. It's a mix of, like, me sharing general thoughts on, you know, we have those, like, monologue type episodes where I get to share, like, thoughts on certain topics that I'm excited about when it comes to real estate, but we also bring guests on so they can share their take on certain areas that they specialize in, whether it's financing, the legal side, inspections, other agents, because, you know, obviously no two agents also have the same exact thoughts on everything. I think it's been really fun to take part in that and excited to see what comes of it. I mean, hopefully I imagine the people that listen get some sort of benefit from it and we'll see where it goes.
Yeah.
So, lots more to come on that.
Look, you know, the reason I approached you is to do this podcast is, one, you know, I think that you know, you're building your social media presence. I love the videos that you've been doing, you know, not only about real estate, but other stuff as well. I think you're really funny and engaging as well. And I do think that your advice, you're I guess I think you're really accessible, and your knowledge, obviously, you know, your expertise is also great. And so, yeah, for me, for those that are interested in real estate and learning about, you know, how to purchase a home or how to, you know, build your investment portfolio or whatever, I feel like, you know, the podcast is just an easy, you know, entryway into getting that expertise, not only from you, but from all the guests as well. And so I love listening to it. I'm learning a lot, you know, every time the episode comes out. And you did an episode recently on photography about how important the pictures are. And I think, you know, I knew that in my head, but, you know, now as I'm looking at real estate property, you know, like, it's really interesting to see, like, gut instinct on what how I react to a property based on how good the pictures are, right? And so, that's super interesting. South, where is some place that people could find you?
I mean, they can Instagram fairly active there. In fact, I got I've set up my Instagram account specifically because I became a realtor. So that way, you know, people can easily get in touch with me, DM me, what have you. So that's Saad Munir. The I is a one. So SAADMUN1R is my Instagram handle.
Awesome. Any parting advice for budding real estate owners or professionals?
I mean, honestly, the biggest thing is, I actually had a conversation with a new agent earlier today. He works for a different brokerage, but he wanted to kind of like pick my brain on a few things just to get started. And I told him the biggest thing when it comes to real estate, whether it's because he was interested on the investing side as well, is your mindset. Like, I get it. Everybody wants to make a lot of money.
Yeah.
Everybody wants a deal if they're trying to buy a property. Everybody wants something that's like cash flow positive up the wazoo. Like, I get it. Right. But you've got to have the right mindset. Got to understand that good things take time. You have to understand that there's no replacement for hard work.
Yeah.
And at some point, you just have to do it. You just got to take the leap of faith. Whether you're an investor, whether you're an agent, whether you're a first-time home buyer, you've got to take the leap of faith. There is such thing as analysis paralysis, right? And real estate's no different. So yeah, I mean, just get the right help. But at the end of the day, if your mind is right, you just got to jump into it and good things will happen.
Awesome. Saad, thanks so much for being on American Muslim Project. We look forward to hearing more on your podcast.
I appreciate it, man. Always a pleasure.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to do our sound check with Musar. Welcome back to American Muslim Project. It's now time for our sound check with producer Ari. Ari, do you want to buy a house? You're a millennial. You're Gen Zer. Are you able to buy a house?
Oh, I would love to buy a house someday. I would love to have a house, not to, you know, pay rent every month. But it's an absolutely terrifying thought to even be able to afford that. But like, it's always been like such a mysterious thing of how do you afford a house? How do you, what does that look like?
Yeah. I mean, the entire process is just crazy. I mean, and then, you know, once you're actually gone through it, you know, you've looked at the house, you've given the bank all the paperwork, you've gotten the loan, you've gotten the this, that, and the other thing. Then you have to like sit down and they have a stack of paper, you know, this big that you basically like, you don't even know what you're signing and you just flip through and you sign it and you're like, I guess this is okay. Yeah. And
I could be signing away my firstborn, but it's I just so want to get through the stack.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. My most recent one, you go to the actual mortgage place and it's like, they have like the pens out and everything. It was just like, it's a huge event, right? And then afterwards you're like, okay, I have the keys to a house. Like I could just go there now. And like, this thing is mine.
This is mine, I guess. Yeah.
What other takeaways did you have from this conversation with Saad?
I really liked the bit about like, you know, you asked, do you ever play counselor here? And he's like, no, I just give me the average of what everyone believes, of what everyone feels on the things. I don't want to like get in between you and figure out where there's a house that you are excited about, totally. Even if it's not perfect, because there are no perfect houses. Saad is really great at just just calmly educating you the process
and not making you feel stupid. You know, I think that that's a big thing in this where everybody's coming in blind, right? Unless you have experience, but yeah, totally.
He has done a great job at building that into his podcast as well. I'm sure a lot of listeners don't know I am the producer on his podcast.
That's right.
On Storytime.
So you've been learning all year long.
I have been secretly learning. I've been pulling all the information and getting just a lot of info that I wouldn't have known, a lot of stuff that still is sometimes overwhelming. I'm like, okay, what exactly is this loan that we're talking about, or what is syndication? But he really explains things, breaks them down. Like he, on a previous episode, talked about like supply and demand houses. And it was like, how is there supply lack of so many houses? And talking about like the recent effects of how COVID affected the lumber industry and how that's affected the insurance industry and how that's affected the prices of houses in general, and just going through everything step by step.
Yeah.
It's a great conversation and great podcast as well, if you were interested in this one.
Yeah, totally. We recommend you check it out. It's called Storytime, as Saad said. And the more people that we get to listen to that, the more likely that Ari will get a nice big bonus and they'll be able to afford a down payment on a house in the future. And so, yes, we're all rooting for that to happen. So, yeah. Anyway, that's our show today. I want to thank Saad. I want to thank our producer, Ari. And I want to thank you. We'll see you all next week on American Muslim Project.